This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Oh, it's so good to be a Knick fan these days. Everything is just rolling. Gordon and I will discuss next. Love to hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. Also via X, formerly Twitter, at Hardesty ESPN, at ESPNNY, 98_7FM, at Gordon Damer. Along with Harvey and Joe, we ride until midnight on 98.7 ESPN, New York. Gordon Damer. Hello again.
Larry Hardesty. Hello again, my friend. How's things feeling, huh? Feeling pretty good after that.
Oh, listen.
Feeling pretty good.
Gordon, little Knicks, little brownies, little scoop of ice cream.
Oh, now you done something, right? You didn't just take an extra brownie. Oh. You made sure to get a little ice cream on there as well.
I'm taking one for the team, Gordon.
I'm trying to take one for the team. You know, you can never be too careful, right? You want to make sure that you do what's necessary. You go the extra mile, Larry.
That's what I love about you. That's it. You got to do that. And listen, I'll have to do the same thing. Now, Jeanette's going to have to keep making brownies as long as the Knicks continue to win.
I don't see what choice you have. It's her own fault, really.
You know, she started it. I got to keep rolling here.
Exactly.
Gordon, you couldn't have drawn this up any better. For what you saw tonight, this game was never in doubt.
Never.
Mitchell Robinson was able to play, looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Deuce McBride continues to make our mouths drop open with his 3-point shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Shake Milton got a chance to play 5 minutes. I don't know what else you can say about this game tonight.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you wanted to see how they came out. Do they set the tone early? They did. They carried it throughout. They did. The main stars, they were the stars again tonight. I mean, Brunson, a little ho-hum, 26 points. McBride taking center stage tonight with all the threes, 9 threes, 29 points for him. Josh Hart, another game where he had 10 assists somehow, right? It's good to see Mitchell Robinson back. You know, I was thinking, the fact that Mitchell Robinson doesn't really have an offensive game kind of makes it a little easier for him to maybe come back and get in the flow of things, right? He's really only got to focus on one area. It's not really like you're running plays for him or anything like that. And even Bogdanovich was pretty good tonight. That's how good of a night it was.
He was. We just need to get Mitchell Robinson some stick-em or the NFL receiver's gloves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for balls around the basket. I mean, he's got no problem grabbing the rebounds and blocking shots. But you pass him the ball, it's like he's Roberto Duran. He's got hands of stone.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, he was tremendous.
Well, this is what you're supposed to do, right? I mean, when you're the Knicks and you're a team that's battling for the upper spots, the upper slots in the Eastern Conference, this is the kind of team you're supposed to go out there and hammer. Now, unfortunately, for the past 20 years, even when the Knicks had some decent runs, this was the type of game that would be an issue, right? They'd go out and maybe they'd come out flat, or maybe they'd let the foot off the gas. This year's team is clearly different, and they handled business perfectly, and they just basically run away with a win.
They did. And, I mean, and here's the thing, Gordon. Just to piggyback on what you talked about, you look at Cleveland losing to Charlotte tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You look at a Clippers team fighting for their lives in Philly. Without Embiid, I mean, these are the tricky situations that you find yourself in if you're, you know, a playoff team right now, because you just don't know. You have to be. I mean, Utah, you know, San Antonio's over Utah. You San Antonio's horrible. This is the time of year that you have these situations. And so, you know, thank you for, thank you to Charlotte. Knicks now in third place.
And just two games back of the Bucks for second.
Yes.
And look, to make up that ground, because the Bucks have the tie break as well, so you'd have to get three games in front of them, that will be difficult. But I was thinking, a team like the Bucks, a veteran team like the Bucks, they don't really – I mean, they're already kind of, I would think, on postseason mode, right?
Yeah,
they're already into play, who are we going to match up with in the first round? They're already thinking about that. They're not thinking about, we got to finish the last 10 games of the regular season by going all out. Making up two games, really three games in the standings this late in the season is going to be difficult.
Absolutely.
But with the way the Knicks are playing, you can't put it past them.
You can't. You just can't. By the way, we were discussing this last night, Gordon. Nick Nurse said before the game tonight that he expressed optimism that Joel Embiid will be back on the court before the end of the regular season. Quoting him, quoting Nurse, I think there'll be a very good likelihood that he will return before the play-in playoffs. He has not played, as you know, Gordon, since January 30th.
That is a long time to not play. I saw a report from Woj who was saying that his belief is that it's not just going to be the type of thing where Embiid comes back right at the end of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a chance, at least I believe, according to him, that he could be back with a handful of games left to kind of shake off the rust because he has been out so long.
And hope not to tweak anything when he returns.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the issue, that was the issue with OG, right? When you're out that long and you have some sort of issue that you're hoping to get over,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like a broken bone, right? It's not like something that's clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
You get back out there, you start moving around, you start, especially a guy like Embiid banging bodies like that.
Yeah.
It's a possibility something else comes up.
No question about it. All right, let's chat with some of the top stories that we're going to talk about inside this edition of ESPN New York Tonight. Gordon, it seems like every night, I think we're going to have to start doing a sports betting segment every night on the show because it's in the news again. NCAA president urges state lawmakers to ban prop betting on college athletes. Now, this is a quote from Charlie Baker of the NCAA. Sports betting issues are on the rise across the country, with prop bets continuing to threaten the integrity of competition and leading to student-athletes getting harassed. The NCAA has been working with states to deal with these threats, and many are responding by banning college prop bets. Now, Baker's plea comes as the NBA investigates Toronto Raptors two-way player Jontae Porter. You know, he is the brother of Michael Porter of the Denver Nuggets,
mm-hmm.
for allegedly betting on his own performance in individual games. Ohio, Vermont, and Maryland are among the states that have removed prop betting on college athletes. It seems as though the allegations are for Porter, Gordon, that he apparently allegedly bet on himself, right? His performance, opted on high, you know, up, down, and then asked out of games so he could match the bet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, and I don't, I haven't read all the different details. Mm-hmm. I believe he was doing it with legal means.
Yes.
And the fact that he was doing it through legal means raises the possibility that he's going to get caught. And he did get caught.
Yes, he did.
So, I mean, the problem with all these things, the college stuff, the NBA stuff, there's always the avenue of going the illegal ways.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no oversight there. There's no spotlight on that. It could be going on right now. It very well might be going on right now.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just kind of reading the writing on the wall, there's a chance. And I would think that if the lower you go down on the money made by the athletes, right, you get into the college ranks,
mm-hmm.
there's more motivation. Hey, I'm not... You know, maybe they have some NIL, but maybe they don't. Maybe they maybe they're not making. And you know, no matter how much you make, Larry, people want to make more.
That's it. That's it. Caitlin Clark, Gordon, offered $5 million to play in Ice Cube's Big Three League. Yay, yay! Big Three made a historic offer to Caitlin Clark. Why wouldn't we? Ice Cube wrote on X. Caitlin is a generational athlete who can achieve tremendous success in the Big Three. Clark is expected to be the WNBA's number one pick in the draft on April 15th. Now, if she agrees to participate, it is unclear if Clark would be allowed under the WNBA's current collective bargaining agreement to participate. The Iowa Star and the Hawkeyes meet Colorado in the NCAA tournament semifinals this weekend in Albany.
I don't know this, mm-hmm. but what is a representative contract for the top pick in the WNBA draft? Is it $1 million?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know either.
I'll take a look at it during the break. Yeah. I know for I have a pretty good guess. It ain't $5 million.
I would say, yeah, I don't think so.
So I understand Caitlin Clark has a chance to kind of really be the thing that brings the attention to the NBA, or to the WNBA more than it has right now.
Mm-hmm.
But $5 million is $5 million, Larry.
That's right.
How long is it going to take her to make $5 million in the WNBA?
I don't know. And she'll get the opportunity to get to, I mean, it's three on three. So, you know, she'll be okay. It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Gordon, we are planning another Monday Night Football pregame shakeup. This is we being ESPN, according to published reports. A year after the complete makeover of the set under the stewardship of Scott Van Pelt, Robert Griffin III spot is in jeopardy, while the network is aggressively pursuing retired Philadelphia Eagles center Jason Kelce for Monday nights. Now, remember, Gordon, ESPN not alone going after Kelce. NBC, CBS, right. And, of course, Amazon Prime all have interest. By the way, just in case you hadn't remembered, ESPN continuing to pursue Bill Belichick.
I saw a report that Belichick doesn't want to be doing like a weekly thing, apparently.
Yes, he said he is disinclined to be part of a regular studio show.
Right.
However, according to this published report, ESPN could combine with Peyton Manning's Omaha Productions and NFL Films to secure the legendary coach for a broadcasting role. In other words, if three people are paying him, he might do it instead of just one person paying him.
I am lost because I don't understand why there's so much money in these pre- and post-game shows. I would think that for somebody who is so sought after as Kelce is, an alternate broadcast where you're almost like a Peyton Manning and Eli Manning kind of thing, that at least would, I would think, get some... You know, maybe not on ESPN because the Mannings are already on ESPN, but maybe one of the other channel. I don't know. That would seem to be more of a draw than just pre- and post-game because I don't really know anybody who watches pre- and post-game shows.
Yeah, it's true.
Like the football shows, like when, especially on a Sunday, you're on to the next game.
Yeah. Yeah. And Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears are expected to return on Countdown because they are very good. Very, very good. As a matter of fact, Ryan Clark's video on X talking about his contract situation and what ESPN was, it was great. It was great video.
By the way, the Fever's Erica Wheeler has the highest contract, according to Spotrac, $242,000.
$5 million is looking even better. Now, Gord Damon.
I don't know how long. Is it a one-year deal? You know, if it's 1 year for $5 million.
Take the money.
Yeah, I think you got to.
Take the money. Take the money. And I would think that maybe a deal could be worked out.
Well, you know what? I would say this. It's $5 million. I would think that she's going to be one of those athletes that makes way more in endorsements.
Absolutely.
Than in salary.
Yes. Like right now.
Right. Yeah, right. But does that raise her profile to be the number one pick in the WNBA, or is it better for her to have the celebrity status? I don't know. I'm sure she'll have more than enough people advising her.
Absolutely. And for a small fee, we will advise her as well.
Right. Right. I would love to be your interpreter if you don't mind.
But I promise I won't take any money.
Right. Just give me your PIN number and I'll be good to go. Right.
Opening day tomorrow, Nestor Cortez on the hill for the Yankees in Houston. Mets are rained out. So, Gordon, how are you feeling about nasty Nestor taking the hill tomorrow?
Well, I don't feel great about it because that's the spot you want Gerrit Cole to be there, but he's not going to be there anytime soon. So, let's start finding out about some of these questions. And Nestor Cortez is one of the big question marks. Maybe he's not the biggest question mark. I think that's Carlos Rodon, at least of the guys that are healthy right now. But let's start finding out. We'll have plenty of opportunities to find out, and it starts tomorrow.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
To the hands of Milton with his head up looking for Achiuwa on the left wing. Now he'll drive on Wara. Kicks it out to McBride. Left corner three. Number nine for Deuce McBride.
Pat O'Keefe with the call here on 98.7 ESPN. Gordon Damer, Deuce McBride he looks like a totally different person. This apparently is the Deuce McBride, Gordon, that people who followed the Westchester Knicks were seeing. Remember we hit all these scores about Deuce McBride putting up all these points. We're like, is there a different ball in Westchester? Because he couldn't buy a basket. A three was like, don't even try shooting a three. And now he's just transformed.
Yeah, well, I guess you'd have to say that while the injuries are not good and you want everybody back and healthy in time of the playoffs, but if the injuries didn't exist, good chance he's not getting this much run. Now, you get more run because of the trade, but he wouldn't be getting this.
And no, he would not.
He has gotten the opportunity finally, and he has absolutely run with it. I can't imagine any Knick fan who isn't just over the moon seeing what they're seeing from Deuce McBride.
You know, it says, I've always had this theory, Gordon, and it's always intrigued me. You know, as journalists and broadcasters, there's always a story we're looking for, right? There's always something behind the scenes and everything. And so for me, it's always, how do players deal with adversity? How do they react? How do they make the adjustment, right? Here was a scenario that the Knicks go out and they bring Alec Burks back to run the point guard spot for the bench when Jalen Brunson goes down. And it says to Deuce McBride, hey, guess what? We've shown good faith. We've given you a contract, but you haven't lived up to this. And you're not really responding the way we think you should. And he has really answered that challenge. And so when you talk about adversity and how you deal with situations like that, this person, Gordon, he was coming for his job. It meant less playing time on the floor for Deuce McBride, who wasn't getting a lot of playing time anyway. And he has just worked, everything has just worked out for him. And that hard work and stuff that he did in the offseason with putting up all the threes and everything, he has responded in a major way. Now he can't get off the floor.
Yeah, no question. And I know that this is not what the award is. But if there was an award for the most improved player in the course of the season, right? The most improved player is how much did you improve from last season? But if it was just simply where you were at the start of this season to where you are at the end of this season, I don't think that there's a better example of that than Deuce McBride. He was getting 4 or 5 minutes. Even during when they did the play-in tournament, he wasn't really playing all that much. And now you see this is a guy who's playing 40 minutes a night, at least. Like a 40-minute night is like a night off for him.
Yeah, yeah.
And is putting up 26 here, 29 there, 29 tonight. He is just a different player. And, man, for a second-round pick who the Knicks are not really spending any money on, even with the new contract, another absolute find by Leon Rose and company, an absolute great job by the coaching staff and everything. Yeah. This is how you draw it up, man.
Yeah, and you know, listen, we talked about this a little bit last night, Gordon. We've been struggling with some of the draft choices that the Knicks have made over the years.
Oh.
Okay, and I'm not even going to go down that.
That
harrowing hallway.
Right.
But not only to have a draft pick, but to have a second round. And Mitchell Robinson is another example, Gordon, of a second round pick that has turned out to be a mainstay in your in on your roster. It's it says a lot about not only drafting the right people, but Gordon having the coaching in place to help them improve, to make sure that they reach the potential that you see in them as draft choices.
This is what an organization is supposed to be, right? Developing talent. That's what it is in every sport, right? It's not just about where you draft them and think that guys are finished products when they come into the league. It's about finding those undervalued guys, in the second round of the NBA who are playing like this.
Yeah.
It's an incredible job by the Knicks, and just another reason why. I don't know how this season will turn out, but no matter how this season turns out, you're still going to feel really good about the direction of this organization.
1-800-919-3776. Carl's in Queens. Carl, start us off on ESPN New York tonight.
Larry, Gordon, good evening, fellas. I'm leading off. I'll give you my best Jeff McNeil impression here. Listen, huge win. I know it's just the Rockets, but guys, we won
Raptors
by 44 points. I'm sorry. Raptors. We won by 44 points. And a quick shout out to Quick and RJ. It was kind of sad seeing them on the bench. I hope everything's good with them. But listen, Mitch coming back, guys. Hardenstein's our five. I think everyone agrees at this point. But him coming back just to remind everyone, he was getting shouts for Defensive Player of the Year before mm-hmm. he came back. And even the 10 minutes he played, it, with his blocks, the way he spaces the floor, it's amazing. And I just want to, with the schedule, guys, now, I brought this up to you, but we can smell the two seed. We really can. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing, let's just see how everyone comes back. But Deuce, let me just, I was really high on Deuce for a while now. It's just the confidence. I think it was the very first three he hit mm-hmm. in the corner in the first quarter. It was a very tough shot, and it's just the confidence that he plays with now. And very quietly, Jalen Brunson still cooking every single game, guys. Let's go Knicks, baby. Let's keep it going, boys.
All right, Carl, thanks for the phone call. Gordon Damer, here's a trivia question for you. Ready? When's the last time Jalen Brunson played under 30 minutes?
It's been a while. It was like a night off tonight.
He played 29 minutes, Gordon.
Well, it's like a half a game. It's like he had banker's hours practically.
29 minutes. 26 points in 29 minutes, 7 assists, 11 of 19 field goals. His 41st 25-point game this season. That's the most by a Knick player since Carmelo Anthony, who had 49 of them 2013 to 2014. It's just crazy.
I realize that there were, if you're old enough to remember the Ewing years and the trips to the finals, but not old enough to remember the championship years. I almost feel like this is the best I've felt about the organization as a whole. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily that they're going to win a championship this year or that they're going to win a championship next year, mm-hmm. but just the decision. Like with the Ewing teams, they made some good moves, but it was primarily they got Ewing.
Yeah.
They got that big piece. Mm-hmm. I feel like with this group, in terms of good decisions, there's more good decisions that have gone into this group. Mm-hmm. That you could not foresee. With that group, it was always, all right, we'll add a veteran here. Yeah. You know, Starks was undrafted, okay. Mason was undrafted, okay. But with this group, it's finding – nobody thought Brunson was going to be this.
No. Mm-mm.
Nobody thought that DiVincenzo could be this good as he's been this year. I don't think that people thought that the OG trade was going to transform the defense the way that it did in the now short time that you've seen it, but mm-hmm. it was – seeing how you're developing players like Deuce McBride, it just feels like there's more and more good decisions. Each decision that they make, they're not all home runs.
Right, right.
But they're stacking. More times than not, you got to have to give them the benefit of the doubt because mm-hmm. their judgment has been spot on.
Yeah, you're right. And they still have salary cap money.
Absolutely.
And draft choices to improve. So they're still in a great spot that whatever they decide to do, if somebody becomes available, they can do something with it. They have that option.
The biggest decision of this group is still to be made.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the one that hopefully puts them at the level of Boston and Milwaukee in mm-hmm. the East and
not
Denver
far off now.
The teams. Right. No. They're in the neighborhood. And Gordon, it's been a long time since we've been able to say we're in the neighborhood of the top of the
They haven't even been in the same country a lot of times, never mind the neighborhood, Larry.
You are correct.